Good morning, good morning. It's so good to see you in church. Welcome to Freedom House. My name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church. One church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on, welcome over our campuses. Good to see everybody. And it's good to be back. We're a few weeks. My wife and I were ministering. Our good friend, Pastor Mike Kai, she spoke at a women's conference. I spoke at their church, multiple campuses, and we took a few days off, but back and refreshed and ready to go into Easter. Y'all ready for Easter, everybody? It's a couple weeks away. If you didn't know, Easter is like 2 weeks from now, and it's going to be coming real soon. And just want to get our church prepared. We're going to have multiple services. Easter is the Super Bowl of Christianity. Okay, I thank God that Jesus died, but if he did not raise again, we serve a dead God. But how many know we don't serve a dead God? We serve a God who is risen and is alive in Jesus' name. And so Easter Sunday this year is on March 31st, so just 2 weeks from now. And then Good Friday is on, obviously, Good Friday. When's Good Friday? On Friday. But it's March 29th. And we just want to kind of give you a little heads up to prepare for that. And so we'll have a wonderful Good Friday service across all our campuses. And then Sunday morning, we'll have a 7 a.m. We'll also do an 8:30 a.m. And we'll have a 10 a.m. service. So our 10 a.m. service is usually very full, as many of you know. Today's daylight savings. And so you're still in church. Come on now. Don't change your clock. Be on time for everything. Just kidding. That's joking. But change your clock. It's like my iPhone changes itself. Just joking. But what's it called? So Easter, 7 a.m. Just want to encourage us. Our church is, you know, if you can come to some of the earlier services, make plans for that. Little church hack. Tell your neighbor, say, here's a church hack. Say, church hack, church hack. And that's the 10 a.m. is the CEOs are going to come out on Easter. What are CEOs? The Christmas and Easter only. Come on, just joking. That's messed up. That, don't judge people, Josiah. That's it. Anyhow, sorry. So they'll come out. And anyway, it's going to be packed. So I just want to encourage our church, if you can come a little earlier, you know, if you come to the 7 a.m., there'll be plenty of room. Then the 8:30, then the 10 a.m. is going to be super packed. So let's make room and come a little sooner. It's going to be great. So you have so many services to choose from. We also have our Irvine campus that'll be having multiple services, and our Espanol campus. Si sabes Espanol, come to the Espanol one. Come on, Pascua. So it's going to be powerful, and we're going to celebrate Jesus. Come on, give God a clap. Oh, and by the way, I heard the women's conference sold out, the Fiercely Feminine. Man, can't even get a ticket. I saw someone scalping tickets outside. They're like, tickets, tickets. No, I'm just joking. Don't do that, all right? But anyhow, but if you do make some extra money, give it to the building fund. We need to close this escrow, okay? Let's go. But I'm excited to continue our series today on God First. As you remain standing, grab your Bibles. The message outline, when you walked in, they handed you a piece of paper. If you're online, they're going to put a link there. And you can follow today the verses that we'll be studying, as well as the points that I have for the message. And today we're going to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. And I'm also going to partner that with a few passages out of the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. Where Moses gives the Ten Commandments. And we're on a series of teachings about putting God first. Someone say, God first. And we just have a society today that puts everything before God. And I really felt passionate to lead our church the year of kingdom expansion. It's the only way things are going to expand in our lives is we put God first. It's not about putting other things first. And I always like to say this, when first things are first, second things get better. And so let's put God first. Matthew 6:33, this is Jesus speaking. Who's speaking? Jesus. And here's what Jesus is going to say to the disciples to encourage us, which is all of us. He says, but seek first. Seek what? The Bible says his kingdom and his righteousness, and those to be in right standing with God. He says, and all of these things will be given to you as well. And this really, I think, speaks to our culture today, because we live in a culture that seeks everything else first, and then if they have extra time, they'll seek God. And they wonder why you never fully achieve the level of happiness or wholeness is because things can't change your life. But if we seek God first, God says, I'm so good that I'm still going to bless you with the favor and I'm going to give you the abundance. Come on, say amen when we put him first. And so then go to Exodus chapter 20. This is the 10 commandments. And I want to show you the first two commandments. They're so pivotal to our lives. Back to speaking of order, scripture says in Exodus 20, chapter 1 through 5, it says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And here's the first commandment, okay? It's still relevant today. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. Lowercase gods there, if you notice. Why is it lowercase? Because ain't nobody stand to, nobody can stand next to God, all right? Uppercase God, okay? And scripture says, God's like, because I brought you out of bondage, the house of bondage, he says, you shall put no one before me. Why is that? Because he's saying, I'm the one who delivered you. I'm the one who set you free. Why would you go back to what enslaved you spiritually when we serve a God, come on, who brings us to total freedom, deliverance, and power? Amen. Scripture says, you shall have no other gods. And watch verse 4. It says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. It says, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. And I'll try to get to that here about iniquities. But scripture says he's a jealous God. Now, what does that mean? He's a jealous God. What that means is God is saying that he has an exclusivity clause on our lives. He's saying, you belong to me. You don't belong to nobody else. You belong to me. Imagine somebody else trying to claim your child as theirs. Be like, that's my kid. You don't pay their bills. I do. So that's my kid. You know what I'm saying? Imagine, you know, your child showing affection in a way that only should be shown to you as the mom or the dad. Does that make sense? God's like, you're my child. I love you. He's a jealous God. Now, he's not jealous like your ex-boyfriend. Okay. Or the stalker like your ex-girlfriend. Come on, somebody. Amen. He's jealous like he actually wants to spend time with you. He's like, I've been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you. So I want to talk today, continue our God First series, God First in My Future. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I ask that today that you would speak to us as it pertains to not making idols and putting you first. Holy Spirit, develop us, challenge us, stretch us. And Father, show us, God, how putting you first is the greatest option. The culture we live in today, so many things fight for our affection, our attention, fight for our significance, Lord. And Lord, I don't want my identity to be anything else but in you. So help us, God, to be a God first men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more hand clap. Come on. You may be seated. Tell the person next to you, say, put God first, bruh. Tell them that, say. If it's a girl, say, put God first, sis. Okay? Put God first. That's right. I want to continue talking about putting God first. And I've really been fascinated on the need that I believe this is so prevalent and relevant for our society, because if we're all honest, we live in a culture of idols, you know, American Idol, just joking. We live in a culture of idols where there are so many things that fight for our attention, our affection. And I'm realizing that to put God first, and why I started this series, the battle is not to say you put God first. The battle is to keep God first. Because you can come to Sunday morning church and say, God first. But then Monday through Saturday, keeping him first is the challenge. Because so many things are gonna fight for that position, God's place in our lives as believers, where we're like, God, you're first, God, you're first. Monday comes, actually, you're a seventh. Come on. And the battle is to keep him first. Are you tracking me? Are you tracking what I'm saying? That's the battle. It's like, it's not so much just to say it, because I believe in theory, in belief, we all say, yeah, God first, all the way, God first, God first. But then our schedule may not reflect that. Our priorities may not reflect that. And so the battle isn't to say God is first. The battle is to what? Keep God first. That's the battle. That's the struggle, if I can use that word, you know, that we have on a weekly basis, because so many things, we live in a culture of distractions and a culture of just so many things that try to just impose themselves into our affection and into our focus. And so that's why Jesus said, put God first. And then the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments really are all about putting God first. He's like the first commandment, like the first big one that God's about to give him this list. He says, number one, he says, you are to worship me only. Like, that's number one. He's like, I set you free. I'm the one that changed your life. I'm the one that helped you come out of that anxiety, that depression, that suicide. I'm the one that got you off that drug. I'm the one that gave you hope when you were hopeless. I'm the one, come on, that saved your soul. I'm the one that, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have that job. Say amen. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have that business. And so he's like, and because I brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the house, he's like, I delivered you. He says, my requirement is you have no other gods before me. And then he defines what he means by other gods in the second commandment. He says, you are to make no images. You shouldn't bow down to any idols. Say with me, say idols. And I think we all know what idols are in the bad connotation. For example, like we know you can make like demonic idols, right? Drugs can become an idol where you go to drugs and he's like, don't have any other idols. You know, and you can also things like witchcraft, those are idols, right? And I think sometimes in our, you know, Western culture, in our 2000 TikTok 24 culture, come on, Instagram, reels, be real, not fake. And so anyway, hey, so it's in this culture, we know what that is, right? Satanism. You're like, well, pastor, I don't have idols. I came to church this morning. I got no idols. But I think it's the sneaky idols. I'm going to call them sneaky idols. It's the sneaky ones. Where it's like, I ain't got no idols. But here's the definition of idol. You can write this down. This is not your first point. But write this down. Here's the definition of idol. What is an idol? An idol is anything that takes center focus off God and puts it on something else. Anything that takes the center focus off God and puts it on something else. That can become an idol. Anything that you give your loyalty and affection to that takes that center focus or number one position, that can be an idol. And so here come the sneaky idols, because they're actually not bad. They're good, but it can become your idol. For example, something like success can become your idol. We are so infatuated with success that you will do anything for it. I got quiet up in this Christian church. All right, come on, somebody. Where you're so like achievement oriented that you measure your value by your achievements instead of your security and identity in Christ. In other words, you have amounted a list of achievements, but your soul is depleted. Hello, somebody. And success can become your idol. Where you are so enamored, there's a good word. You're enamored with I want to appear successful, because maybe you're trying to prove somebody wrong who said you would never be successful. So you hear the voice of someone saying that, and so you live your life. I'm gonna show them. They don't think, watch this. And you might even sit in church on a Sunday, but all week long you're enamored with success. Now, success ain't a bad thing. I want you to be successful, but it can become your idol when that's number one. And so you will even sell your soul for success. Oh, I got quiet up here. I'm just getting the eggs out of the refrigerator right now. I'm gonna be all up in your kitchen. What do you want for breakfast, huh? Like, because it can become your idol. People can become your idol. Oh, here we go. Here you go. Yeah. Your boyfriend. Well, you know, I love him. He's my everything. He's the one. But he don't serve God, and you said God's first. Oh, it's getting hot in here. Keep on your clothes. Come on, somebody, amen. Especially if you're dating. Come on now, you ain't married. And so you try to treat your boyfriend like your husband, but he ain't put a ring on it yet. Ooh, it's getting good. Who's first? You said God is first, but all week long, you ain't keeping him first. Your girlfriend can become your idol. It's all she's, I worship the ground she walks on. Oh, freaky. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of scary, you know? Well, you're so obsessed with her. Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? It's like, bro, chill. You ain't be. should become your idol. People can become your idol. Your kids can become your idol. Oh, Lord, I'm coming after the mama bears too. Let's go. Security. Amen. Security. Kids can become your idol. It's all about the kids. All about the kids. What about God first? Your husband can become your idol. Your wife can become your idol. Where, again, these are not bad things, but when that becomes the center of everything, it's going to leave you disappointed. Well, I better not, hold on, slow down, Josiah, slow. Well, let me break it down. Money can become an idol. Is money bad? Say no. Money's good, because I've been broke, and I don't like that. Come on, somebody, can I get an amen? Okay, money's good, all right? If you don't think money is not good, at the end of the service, you can give it all to Freedom House because we need to grow this building. Money is good. Money is not bad. Money is a good thing. But you can make money your idol, where you will work harder for the paper than your purpose. Hello, somebody. And it becomes your idol because you will work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours for the paper. But when it comes to serving God, it's like, well, it's kind of like, oh, I really have to do that? Now that becomes your idol. And this is just my conviction where I say, Lord, forgive me if I work harder to make money than to serve my maker. Come on, somebody. Come on. Amen. Why? Someone say God first. You become your idol. Now, should you work hard? Yes. Okay, you need to get a job. Go get a job this week. Go start a business. Amen. Come on. See, you should have brought your teenagers to church. Go get a job, all right? Like, yes, but it's not bad. It can become an idol. And education can become an idol. Where you can be so enamored with your degree, and I want you to be educated, and I want you to get your degree, but the Bible says, it says in the New Testament, it says that they are ever learning, but have not come to the knowledge of Him. That you can be so, you know, cerebral, where you're trying to get more degrees than a thermometer, but you're so far from the maker of heaven and earth, and come on, you haven't memorized any scripture. Oh, it's getting good in here, it's getting good. I'm not mad, look, I'm happy. I'm happy. We can make these things idols in our lives. Because what's the definition of idol? Anything that takes the center focus above God. And they're sneaky. They're super, super sneaky. Because you'd be like, well, Pastor, I'm in church. I ain't no idol worshiper, pagan. I ain't bowing down to no devil. But yet all week long, is he first? Because God says when we put Him first, He will add all of those things that you think are going to bring you that happiness. God says, I'll bring it into your life. Come on, say amen. So here's your first point. Write this down. Here's how we put God. That's not how you put God first. Here's how you keep God first. So today I'm trying to teach you how to keep God first, not just put Him first. Point number one, write this down, is don't make idols. This is how you keep God first. Because it's very simple in word to say, I put God first, but how do I keep God first is you don't make idols. Because if you make idols, then God quickly falls down the list of priorities in your life of who He is. Deuteronomy puts it like this. The scripture says, go to the next verse for me too if you can. It says here, it says, you saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Oreb out of the fire. God's like, I didn't show you like a form. He says, therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Tell your neighbor, say, watch yourself. Okay, watch yourself. And he says, 4:16, it says, so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourself an idol, an image, look what it says here, of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman. He's like, idols come in any shape, any form, and any size. Just be careful, watch yourself that you don't make an idol out of what you want to worship. Because see, the reason humanity makes idols, Lord help me here, I don't want to divert from the teaching or the message here, but the reason we divert to idols is because we think we need something other than God to fulfill what is missing. Like God is not enough. So because He's not enough, I'm gonna put my affection, my heart, my devotion that something else is gonna bring me that happiness, that deliverance, and that healing. And we somehow feel like God can't bring what He has. He ain't got the juice to produce. And so we make something, we reduce God, and we increase idols, and we end up broken, hopeless, depressed, anxious, and we wonder why. It's because the only one, come on somebody, who can add everything I need is God. Someone shout God first. So we have to rework. Listen, it's a reworking. Because y'all know this. We live in a culture of idols. Ooh, yes, we do. Some of you make celebrities your idols. Oh, here we go. I'm coming after it. You know more about Taylor Swift than what God is speaking to you. Oh, here I go. Here I go. Yeah, yeah. You memorize how many songs? How many scriptures you memorize? Oh, Lord, I better run. Help me out. Help me out. Help me out. Okay, God, quiet. Nobody liked that one. It don't matter. I'm going to preach it anyway. God bless her. We make idols. We live in a culture, and what feeds our kids these idols is steady diet of choose your idol. Pick a card. Pick an idol. Any idol. Media. What idol do you want? Let's just, they hand it. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And you can be in church. And let me just first say this. I'm not a pastor that beats you up when you're in church, because listen, you're in church. I'm so proud of you being in church. Come on, clap for everybody in church. Irvine, Fullerton, Espanol, online, like. But I'm going to say this. We all know this to be true. You can come to church, but yet still be empty inside. Be so far from God. It's just real talk. And it's like, why? It's because you're not actually actively putting effort to get close to God. I mean, it would be like going to the gym and not putting effort when you're in the gym. You're like, how come I don't have a six pack? Because you only show up, you don't actually use the machines. Like, this stuff ain't working. You're not using the machines, bro. Just because you come to the gym and you sit on a machine for an hour doesn't mean you're gonna walk out losing calories. Just because you come to church, sit in a seat for an hour, doesn't mean you're actually going to build. You got to, come on, somebody. I have to work to get close to God. I didn't say work for your salvation. The Bible says work out your salvation in fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 4. Come on, amen. Okay? So we have to, it takes that in our lives. And so we got to be careful that I don't make idols work harder for something else, and I'm wondering why God ain't first. And so I was asked a question, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if I'll finish the rest of the points, but you're a season ticket holder, so we'll get through this, okay? But I was asked this question recently, and it was a question of balance versus, like, how do you balance your life, Pastor Josiah? As you know, I do multiple things. Of course, Pastor Freedom House, I run multiple businesses, I have a family, I wear multiple hats, I also speak around the country, conferences, I write a lot of curriculum. I'm doing a lot. And they go, how do you do it? You know, and the truth is, I have the same amount of hours as anybody else. How many know we all got the same amount of hours? If you found a 25th hour, let me know, because I've been looking for that 25th hour, okay? We all got the same amount of hours. And I responded to this question saying, I don't look for balance. I believe the word balance is overrated. Like, how do you balance your life? Like, balance? Nah, man, I don't live my life balance. I live my life priorities. I live a life of priorities. I don't strive for balance. I strive for priorities. There are priorities that I live by that they will not be broken. These are my priorities. And if everything's important, nothing's important. If everything's a priority, nothing's a priority. Does that make sense? Come on. Are you here? Tracking with me. So the way you begin to live a life of God first is you got to have a life of priorities. These are my priorities, and I ain't budging this. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title is. It doesn't matter. These are my priorities, and I want to share that with you, or my priorities of how I keep a God first life. And so I wrote some things down here to help you. Go ahead and put that up for me, team, if you can. But here's how I put a God first life. I already told you I don't make idols. Yeah, put the one on the screen here. Is I keep a God first life. Number one, here's my priorities, is because my number one priority is God. That's my number one priority, is God. Nobody will take that number one seat. I don't care what they think they found, what kind of evolution, what kind of a science. God is the one that I honor. He's the one I serve. He's the center of my affection, the center of my devotion. God is number one. I make no apologies. I believe his word about sexuality. I believe his word of what God says about family. I believe what God says about marriage. I believe what God says about gender, male and female. I believe what God says about integrity, what God says about a man, what God says about a woman, what God says about a society. Someone say God first. You can throw me in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I still won't bow because God is first. I wish I had some amens up in here, up in here, up in here. God first. And then my number two, you're going to be very surprised about number two because most people say family. Actually, no, my family is not number two. A healthy, healed me is number two. That's number two. Because see, some of you, the reason why you're hurting is because you are working so hard for someone else to be healed while you're still deficient and broken. Okay, all right, yeah. I'm gonna be there for a minute. I'm gonna stay right there for like a long time. Because you're trying to feed someone from what you don't possess. And you cannot take someone where you have never been. So my family is not number two. A healed, healthy Josiah is number two. So watch this. It's very easy for us to want to fix someone else's ugly, but not fix our own ugly. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, I might not be able to get out of this point. Because I'll deal with your ugly. And your brokenness and your dysfunction, but I don't want to deal with my own hit. And dysfunction duplicates because we can see everybody else's problem, not deal with our own. That's how we know someone's ready to get married. They're like, well, she. I was like, hey, bro, you're not ready. Someone recently was telling me, you know, what do you think? I said, the problem is you need to fix you. They didn't like it, but then they said, you're right. But I have to fix me. The greatest gift, listen to me, everybody. The greatest gift you can give your family is the best version of you. A healed and healthy you will be the best thing you can give your family, your children, your spouse, your grandkids. But if you're broken, ain't nobody gonna be good. Can I get an amen? I gotta deal with it. And my wife, she's all right with that. My wife's not number two. I love her, but she's glad. She's good because she'd be like this. Yeah, go spend time with God. Go. Yeah, just go. Go get with Jesus. That's a good thing. And vice versa, all right, you need to spend time with God. Go spend time with God. Go work on you. You know what I'm saying? Healthy. Someone say a healthy. Healthy. A healed me is the best thing for my family. Because I've seen my mom try to help so many people, but yet she was so broken herself inside, making no time for herself. And somehow we think that's godly, but Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love. Easy to take care of other people, but not take care of our own hurting, our own self. That spend that like genuine time of saying, God, God, this is how I live my life. I'm trying to help you, okay? What does a God-first life look like? Lord, I'm not gonna work on my dreams. I'm not gonna work on success. I'm not gonna try to work on being on my kids. I'm not gonna work on my wife. I'm not gonna work trying to change other people. I'm not gonna work on my business. God, the second thing after honoring you is I gotta let you get inside of here, and you gotta begin, Lord, to renew my mind, to heal my heart, my unforgiveness, my brokenness, my bends. God, no, come on, help me this morning, somebody. You gotta get this good. And it's a priority. And nothing will get in the way of it. And I don't care if you're offended. How come you didn't call me? Because I was working on, there's some things God's dealing with me. That's why I guard my early mornings. It belongs to being the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Some of you are, and I say this with the sincerity in my heart. You spend more time trying to change other people than to get healed. And it ain't gonna work. At some point, you're going to implode. You're bleeding in your boots. And God's not okay with it. He loves you too much. Someone say amen. And that's why, fellas, we need church. That's why you need. Let me talk to the fellas real quick. You need church. You need church. You need God. Because nobody can change your hard head but God. Come on, fellas. Ain't nobody, she ain't gonna change you. They ain't gonna change you. Okay? Ain't nobody can change this head, this heart, but God. So I gotta get my ratchet self. I gotta get my ratchet self into the presence of God and say, God, go ahead and heal this broken vessel so I can be a better husband, a better father, a better man of God, a better human, a better child, because I can't go on if this ain't good, Lord. And ladies, the same for you. You need to get your ratchet self. Oh, Lord, help me. I better run. I better hide. I didn't say it. Just kidding. You better get your ratchet self. That's why you're so angry. I can't get out of this point. I couldn't do it the first service either. They were ratchet too. Just kidding. Come on. Amen. I can't get out of this first point. But that's why you're angry. Trust me, you think it's them. But there's something here. We don't see people for the way they are. We see them for the way we are. The way we are. And if I'm agitated deep inside, everybody's agitating me. It's like, what? Chill. Someone say, I need healing. Tell your neighbor, say, you need healing. Just look at him and say, you need some healing. Just say, tell him, you need to get healed. Amen. Spend some time. Get into counseling. Come on, somebody. One-on-one, all right? Oh, Lord, help me. Okay. Number three, then it's my family. And I guard this. It's my family. And I've learned to literally schedule family time. You'd be like, well, that's so pro-business. No. Because the life I live, some people think when I say family that it's not important. They want that time. So I schedule my family time. I say, I'm sorry, my schedule's already filled. Oh, it's already filled. Yeah, but they don't realize it's filled. I schedule it. Because ask me why. It's a priority. It's a priority. And nothing will rob it. Next, in family is, of course, my children and my marriage. Then for me, four is building God's church. That's a priority to me. And I put that before building my business and my work for you. It might be a job. I have this conviction that if I work harder to build my clients than God's kingdom, I won't let that happen. For me, I want to build God's church. That is my highest calling, that I've been designed to build his church. That how dare I spend 60 hours or 40 hours trying to build an investment in real estate business but not even give God a Sunday serving him? Oh, I got quiet up in here. It got quiet up in here. I work 40, 50 hours, but I won't serve. The greatest part of my week is not when I close the business deal. It's when I come on Sunday and I can serve my God and build his church. Come on, say amen. And when you get behind what God is building, he'll get behind what you're building. You get behind God's dream, watch him get behind your dream. Building God's church, I specifically put it above. And then for me, then fifth is business and work. Then it's recreation. Got to work before you play. Some of y'all play too much. Tell your neighbor, say, don't play. Then everything else. This has led me to a life of deliverance and development. It set me more free, and it's developed me in God. But I wrote some other ones. I got some other ones. I told you, I'm going to finish. If you think I'm going to finish this whole sermon, the outline today, you got faith. Just joking. It's going to happen next Sunday. I'm going to continue next Sunday, okay? But here's the second one. Here's some people that I deal with. It's this one. It's the busy person list. Let's hold the piano just for a few minutes. Let's hold piano because they think I'm done. I'm not done yet. Amen. For this one, I'll tell you when to start it, okay? You can turn it off. Busy person list. This is a person that puts their number one, their business and work. They're the ones that always say, oh, Pastor, I'm just so busy, man. I've got so many deals. I'm just so busy. Man, I'm busy. And here's the thing. It's sneaky because your success makes you think that you're fulfilling your life, but it usually ends empty. They're too busy. I'm too busy for church, too busy to read my word. Oh, Pastor, I'm just so busy. I'm too busy to serve. I'm too busy for my family. I'm working a lot. I'm closing these deals. And their whole identity is in this. That's their number one, their whole world. Then after that is their selfish me. So not the healthy healed. It's because they work so hard, they think after I've worked so hard, I deserve this. So I'm going to intoxicate myself. I'm going to go do what I want to do because I work so hard to provide. And they hide it under, I'm a provider. And that's their number one. And that's their number two. And so then after that, recreation is their number three because I work so hard, I need time off. So I'm going to go to the lake. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. And then family somewhere in there. Then everything else. And then it's finally God. And then maybe building God's church. Completely. And they go, and they're frustrated. And they wonder, why do I feel so empty? Why am I crushing it in business, but I'm so depressed and anxious? Because idols can't heal. Idols can't fulfill. And this life leads to a lonely life. You have a lot of business associates, but you have no meaningful relationships. You're distant. It's the busy person list. I got another one, number three. Oh, I got a lot of these. I was writing this message. I'm like, oh, Lord. I always overstudy, but I don't apologize for that. This is, we like to have fun person list. Fun family. Number one. Their number one is recreation. That's their number one, is like fun is number one. So like to them, sports is number one. Going to the game. And by the way, it's called a game. Did you hear what I just said? What is it called? It's a game. But to them, that's number one. Going to the game is number one. Sports, number one. Outings, el puro party. You know, that's number one. I'm not going to church on Sunday morning. I was partying Saturday night. That's their number one. I mean, you're at the place now where you don't even have to be out on a Friday to get intoxicated. It's a Tuesday, just getting home from work. And you faded, feeling, I better not say that. Getaways, always trying to go on a getaway. It's called escapism. Just fun. You're an adrenaline junkie. I just need fun. And the truth is you're hiding behind that fun. And this even hurts families because when you put that as number one, I say this with sincerity and love, but a lot of people think that's building a family with activities. When the truth is that activity is good in the right order, but if that's number one, you will have, that's why they're awkward. They can't even have a real conversation with their daughter without an activity. You can't even have a meaningful conversation with your spouse without an activity. That if you sit together at a park, you don't even know what to talk about. You start talking about sports. Start talking about the outing. I dare you to just sit down on a park bench and have a meaningful conversation and don't talk about recreation. And if you feel awkward, that is proof that you have disconnected from the true meaning of change. My God, my God, my God. I felt that one. So you need recreation. And it's not healthy. It's not a God first. It's not an order. Order. So then usually recreation after that is business and work because you got to pay for all these activities. Come on, somebody, yeah? So I got to work, right? It's expensive. This stuff's expensive, expensive. You know, number one, that right now they didn't come to church because I was at the lake this weekend. I went to the lake. You know, I'm coming late. Then family, then everything else. Then usually this person is like, well, I do this because, you know, it brings me peace. So they mask it in a concern of being healthy. Then it's God, number six. Then it's building God's church finally, but we don't have time because we're very busy. We got stuff going on. This leads to an empty life because there's no meaningful connection, even within the own family. Because God's not first. It's not order. I got another one. Number three. I better move quick. Lord Jesus, help me. This is the, I'm going to live my life, and I don't care what you think, person list. Is my life. It's now or never. Okay, I'm gonna live my life. This person puts the selfish me first. I'm gonna do whatever I want. No one's gonna tell me what to do. And who does that guy think he is with those high water pants? Come on, somebody, amen. It's real talk. I heard it's in style, maybe it's not. Okay. If you can't make fun of yourself, you take yourself too serious, by the way. Thank you, I appreciate it, man of God. Selfish me, I'll do whatever I want. I'll do whatever I want, I don't care. I'll do what I want on Friday, I'll do what I want on Sunday, I'll do what I want on Monday, I'll do what I want on Tuesday, I'll smoke whatever I want, I'll go wherever I want, I'll do whatever I want. And they put themselves first, you know? Then it's recreation, because I'll do whatever I want, then it's business and work and everything else, then maybe family, then God is down there, and then building God's church is like a distant thought. This leads to a life of regret. Because the person that says, I'm gonna do whatever I want, and we're all mature in this room, they'll say, I'll do whatever I want. They'll sleep around. I'll sleep around. Who cares? Be with many people, many partners I want. I'll be committed to one person. And listen, I have counseled those people. I'm in those circles. And I'm telling you, you could sleep around, and they tell me, and they're empty. They say, but I'm actually trying to find the one I could be married to. You'll feel empty because the best way to live a life isn't to try to sleep around, and it's to find one queen. Listen to me, men, to find one queen and build God's kingdom and your family kingdom and build a legacy to find one king, someone you can trust, someone that iron sharpens iron, that the greatest love is not trying to hook up with as many people, but it's finding one person God's way. That leads to the most rewarding stuff. Say amen. Amen. Not everybody say amen, so some of you don't agree. See, is my life. Okay. Yeah. But where does this leave life regret? You get to your later life saying, man, I wish I would have done it different. Spent all that money, did all that stuff, and I'm empty. I'm regretting that. There's another one. Next one. Just want to see where you find yourself, okay? Because remember, the battle's not saying God is first. It's what? Keeping God first. And we can say God is first, but if our priorities don't reflect that, he's really not first. He's just somewhere on this list. Next one. This is the I'm working on me list, person list. I'm working on me. And this person, they put number one, a healthy, healed me, because they're like, I'm working on me right now. You know, I'm trying to find myself, which I think is the most dumbest statement. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find myself. It's like, what? I've never been lost and going, wait, everybody stop. Let me find myself. Be like, no, fool, open up your Apple Maps, and you don't need to find yourself. We need to get someone to help us where we're at. Listen, you don't can't find yourself. What you need to do is find Jesus. Come on. You need to find God, and when you find him, he gonna tell you where your lost self is to get you back to where you need to be. Someone shout God first. So this person, everybody stop. I'm trying to find myself. I'm gonna go to the spa and find myself. You didn't find yourself. The knots came back a week later. Everything else, I'm trying to find. So then what's important to them is recreation. Does that make sense? And so it's like, what am I gonna do? Just kind of escapism. I'm gonna go to the games, do this, blah, blah, right? Go to the Laker game, and you're gonna leave more frustrated because they're not doing good right. You know, trying to find myself. And it's all of this recreation, right? I'm gonna find myself. 49ers. It's like, no, you lost again. See, you're lost. Sorry. This is lead. Business, using work after that, then family, everything else, then God, and then building God's church. This leads to a life of narcissism and self-worship. Because you're so infatuated with your pain that it becomes your idol. You hear what I just said? You're so infatuated with getting healed that becomes your idol. That's the thing that's the center focus every single day is this thing that you're going through. All your conversations are about that. Your dreams are centered around that. Everything is it, and you've actually made that an idol, and it leads to self-worship. When the Bible is very clear that it says Proverbs 11:25, that a person that refreshes others, will they themselves be refreshed? That your healing often is not found in you. It's found in you helping other people get healed. It's found, your healing is not in here. My healing is in Him. And the more I get closer to Him, the more I get healed. And so this is where our world lives. We're narcissistic. You're like, no, I'm not. Okay, who's the first person you look for in a picture? What determines a good picture? When they look good? You're like, don't post that one. You're like, but I look good. But you don't. Come on, honest people. This side, hiding. We are narcissistic in America. We are so concerned about us, but we worship self. Lord, help us. Man, Pastor, I came to church. You gave me an uppercut. I told you I was making you breakfast. Making you breakfast. I'm going to finish it in the weeks to come. But let me tell you, here's the hope we have. Here's the hope we have. The hope is this. God says, I'm the Lord your God. He's come to bring deliverance and development. That God didn't come to leave us broken, but He's come so that we can break every generational idol that has been passed down to us by our family, passed down to us by culture, fed to us by media, fed to us by the dysfunction of others, and we are going to be a generation that breaks every idol in the name of Jesus, and we are going to put God